All right, let's stand up. It's funny how many of you people are like, you got the 45-minute Christmas sermon ready? Maybe. John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Father, we thank you for this Christmas morning, Lord, the morning in which we celebrate, the morning in which we remember that you put on flesh, your Son put on flesh, came to be with us. Lord, we pray in these few moments that our minds are focused on what this means to us, but Lord, what this means to the world. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds are open. I pray your Spirit within us transforms us more into your image. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, I think I brought her up before, and in fact, I have talked about this woman many times. When I sit down to write anything, whether it's a sermon, a college paper, or even an email, yes, anything that must be typed, my writing has been influenced by her. And in fact, I hear her voice in my head with each word that I speak, with each sentence that I write, and with each paragraph that I finish. This woman's voice haunts me, but not in a bad way, but it haunts me. Her fingerprints are in every document on my computer, and so what I will say right now to teachers is if you do not think you have an influence, you absolutely do. My 7th grade and 9th grade English teacher, Mrs. Holland, is a woman who I met in 7th grade and never got rid of because her son was one of my really good friends. And there's a reason that I do not write with a contraction in any paper, or to be honest, anything I write. There is a reason why I don't use the word a lot to describe a quantity or an amount of something, because in Ms. Holland's words, a lot is two words, and it is a place, and it is only a place, and it does not describe any amount of anything. She is the one who taught me to be concise, be succinct, and do not use more words than you must to describe or make any point. And if you do, she will know. Like Santa, she still knows that you did not read the assignment. Superfluous words would not work on her. She'd give me a lot of credit for using superfluous, but it wouldn't work on her. And for everything that you did, always learn to expand your use of the English language. For Miss Holland, words mattered. How you use the words, how you place them together, and how you describe the moment mattered in your writing. It says something about who you are. There's something about words that carry a weight to them. Whenever you write anything, anywhere. Greg was with me at a lunch a few days ago when the waiter said, most of our items on the menu are scratch made. There's one word doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. Most. So my comment back was, I want to know the things that aren't scratch made. Because if you say most, it could literally be the bread on my table, the tea in my cup. and a few other things, but it means everything else could just be frozen, thrown in the microwave, and given to me. He did not say everything, he said most. If you don't believe that an English teacher has power, there it is. And so we say today, Merry Christmas. I've heard it said all day, Merry Christmas. And those words matter when we say them to ourselves, when we say them to family, when we say them to friends, and when we say it to the world. These words say something about the moment that marks today. When we say Merry Christmas, those words have weight to it. They mean something. Something happened in the world. And by the weight those words carry, we're saying the world will never be the same because of the phrase that we say, Merry Christmas. The words matter to us, and they matter to the world. And it's almost as if John, in our text for the day, knew something was different about what happened on this day. John wanted to describe the day differently. He wanted to describe Christmas Day different. The text for today is not what most of us were probably thinking we would read or hear, because it marks the day different than Matthew and Luke. It's different than Matthew and Luke's narrative telling of a story with shepherds, a wise man, and a manger. It's different than Mark's anxious presence of Jesus when Jesus just shows up on the scene. No, John tells the Christmas story differently. And as we read in the very first part, in the beginning was the Word. John's story begins before time. In the beginning, at creation, at that creation moment with God, and as John says, the Word, the Logos, the very essence of everything. John wants us to know that what happened started before the first words of creation. Not only that, from this word, as John describes Jesus, from this word came the very shape and nature of creation. Did you catch that in verses 3 and 4? All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. All of creation's essence and power flows through this word. This word mattered. The word has power. This word has shape and meaning to it. And all of creation, John writes, finds its completion in this word. The weight of creation finds itself in the moment that we call Christmas. Christmas was shepherds, wise men, a good story, angelic host, and a manger. But in John fashion, he says this, let me give you the wonder of the moment. Let me give you let me pull back the curtain, as John would do if he wrote Revelations, right? Let me pull back the curtain of what's really going on in the moment. Let me tell you what God was up to in Christmas. And this is when we get to the point of the story. What sort of word does this story of Christmas tell us? What sort of word does this passage present to us? The word that carried weight and matters for what the word says to us in its coming. And that's what John says in 1:9. The word has shape, meaning, and weight to it. It is the true light which enlightens everyone, and it was coming. We cannot, in the story of Christmas, just make up whatever we think the word is. We can't make up what we think Christmas is with words. No, this was the word, the eternal word, which came to us. And in our age, in which words have kind of lost their meaning, and if we're utterly honest, we know that they have, where we just flippantly write words on a paper. We just flippantly write words in every which way and in every style, and we throw words onto a page, or we throw words onto a site, or we throw words onto a post, and then we hit the send button and we send it out to everybody for everyone to see. We tend to write words without care and meaning as to what they say to someone else or what they say about us. It's just words, we say. What's the harm? I mean, sticks and stones, right? As one writer said, and I like what this writer said about our time, in our age of social media, words are everywhere. Words communicate. They make meaning. They shape reality. They hurt. They heal. They build up. They tear down. They reveal, they conceal, there are lies and there are truths. And it's almost as if John is telling us today, you've forgotten the power of a word. You've forgotten the power of the word and what those words can do and what those words can say about you and me, and to a greater extension, what those words say about the word that came into the world. So when we say, as the people of God, or to those around us, Merry Christmas, what are we saying to one another? What are we saying to others? What are we embodying in those words of Merry Christmas? John says the word came and embodied the very true meaning of what the word of creation was. John says what came into the world and put on flesh is the true meaning of the word, the true meaning of what it means, the very definition of what it means for you and I to be human, to be in community with one another. The word became flesh like us, and as John says in 1:14, he began to live with us. And in his life, we find the very definition of who we're supposed to be. As John goes on in verse 16 and says, from his fullness, we all have received grace upon grace. The words Merry Christmas mean something different in our day and age, do they not? I mean, I've talked about it along with others. The word Christmas has been transformed into something of an economic idea or even a platitude, you know. I'm not saying it's bad, but we have a way of just saying, keep Christ in Christmas, as if we've won the battle by saying that, not realizing that when we say Merry Christmas, we're also embodying something. The word Christmas has been transformed in this kind of idea of stuff. Christmas season rolls around. That's when all the ads come out. We even use it as a weapon. And by the time we get to today, for many of us, we might be looking forward to tomorrow. If you look at schedules and timing and everything on plates, I was talking to somebody and I said, well, we've cleared Christmas. We've done everything we're supposed to do. Someone's like, that's not the right attitude. But we kind of get that way, do we not? We get tired of it all, tired of everything going on. We're ready for it to be over. But this morning, I want to invite you, amidst all the hustle and bustle of the day, to dwell in the Word becoming flesh for us to receive grace and truth. The Word who was there in the beginning is with the Father now, who now dwells inside of us, and who will return again, offers us the eternal Word this morning, a lasting Word. Words matter, and the Word mattered so much, He put on flesh, was given the name Jesus, so that we could see what it means to be human, what it means to be with God. What does it mean for who God is? God now became more than just a Word. In Christ, we saw what the Word was and how the Word lived. So Merry Christmas, these words are more than, deeper, and richer than how the world has found a way to cheapen it. These are words, eternal words of hope, joy, and peace for all of us. And in the middle of a weary and tired world, today the Word enters into our life again and transforms us and says, I have a word for you to offer hope. Christ the Word is in you today. Christ has been born in you today. Christ the Word came like all of us into this world, into the darkness of the womb. And yet in the darkness of night, light bursts forth, as John says. It seems God has a tendency of doing this. It seems that God has a tendency of when night comes, when the scariest parts of the night come, when chaos comes into our life, God has a way of being able to speak a word and the lights turn on. John, who kind of riffs off of Genesis 1:1-3, where the writer says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was formless void, darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said something. God said a word, let there be light. And there was light. And then John says to us today at Christmas, in the midst of the darkest night of the first century, with everything going on, in the midst of the chaos, a young couple trying to just do what they're supposed to do because the empire is telling them everything feels bad. And the Word spoke a word in the night and burst forth in light. And instead, the Word said, watch what I'll do. I'll put on flesh. I'll mean something. I'll matter. The Word broke through, and in the night, peace came. So, Merry Christmas. How are you doing it today? How is Merry Christmas living inside of you? How is it working in you? Because Christmas is here. It's today. We celebrate it today. It's the day in which we said something happens that mattered. Something changed the world. The Word changed the world. The world with one move. The Word made flesh, the Word that dwells in us today and will dwell with us tomorrow. Let the words Merry Christmas ring out today. Let it ring from your lips as much as possible. But let the words Merry Christmas ring out in life and in action. In everything you do, in every action that you make, in every word you speak, realize that that word is the word that came in to say life matters. You matters. This world matters. And I will change the world through you because I am being born in you again today. So we may see the Word, so may others see the Word in us today and encounter Christ. May they see Jesus in you when you say Merry Christmas, not because of the stuff you gave, but because of the peace that you offer, because of the joy that you give, because of a smile on your face, because of a pat on the back, because of you sitting and listening to a story. And let's be honest, we've all listened to stories this Christmas. But let that be the true witness of Christmas. Let that be the true witness of Christ in you. The Word matters. So let our Word matter. Merry Christmas. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand, as we sing.